So we welcome all the devotees, guests, visitors who have come for the morning Bhagavatam class today. We are reading from 10th canto, 7th chapter, 6th verse today. Authani kautsukya mana manasvini. Samagatan pujayati vrajaukasa. Naiva shrinod vairuditam sutasya sa. Rudanstanarthi charana udakshipat. Our translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The liberal mother Yashoda, absorbed in celebrating the Uthana ceremony, was busy receiving guests, worshipping them with all respect and offering them clothing, cows, garlands and grains. Thus, she could not hear the child crying for his mother. At that time, the child Krishna, demanding to drink the milk of his mother's breast, angrily threw his legs upward. Purport. Krishna had been placed underneath a household hand cart, but this hand cart was actually another form of the Shakatasura, a demon who had come there to kill the child. Now, on the plea of demanding to suck his mother's breast, Krishna took this opportunity to kill the demon. Thus, he kicked Shaktasur just to expose him. Although Krishna's mother was engaged in receiving guests, Lord Krishna wanted to draw her attention by killing the Shaktasur, and therefore he kicked that cart-shaped demon. Such are the pastimes of Krishna. Krishna wanted to draw the attention of his mother, but while doing so, he created a great havoc, not understandable by ordinary persons. These narrations are wonderfully enjoyable, and those who are fortunate are struck with wonder upon hearing of these extraordinary activities of the Lord. Although the less intelligent regard them as mythological, because a dull brain cannot understand them, they are real facts. These narrations are actually so enjoyable and enlightening that Maharaj Parikshit and Shukdev Goswami took pleasure in them. And other liberated persons, following in their footsteps, become fully jubilant by hearing about the wonderful activities of the Lord. Speak on the Srimad Bhagavatam. I would like to beg for blessings of all the assembled devotees here and wish me that I can speak something that can be inspiring both to me and also to all of you. The Vedic scriptures are described as kalpa vriksha. Kalpa vriksha means a desire fulfilling tree. It means it has so many branches of information and knowledge, and if we want a particular thing, we can be sure that we can get it fulfilled with the help of the Vedas. Some of the parts of the Vedas are the Samhitas, the Puranas, the Upanishads, and so many other parts. The Upanishads come out as very philosophical. They speak of the highest truths, but sometimes in a way that is complex from the ordinary person's perspective. Even in the Bhagavad Gita itself, if you go through the 13th chapter, Kshetra, Kshetragnyor, that chapter, sometimes it becomes difficult as compared to the other chapter. So, Acharyas say that the 13th chapter of the Gita is more like the Upanishads. unless you have a proper master to guide you, somebody to help you with the Upanishads, very difficult to understand the Upanishads. In fact, the very word Upanishad means the student has to sit below, upa. He has to be in a lower position. He has to be humble in front of the spiritual master. There are other sections like the Samhitas which contain the prayers. But sometimes these prayers are also offered to the managerial administrators of this universe, the demigods. So sometimes there is Indra Stuti, sometimes there is Chandra Vayu Stuti. So again, an inalert person may get sidetracked. It is only in the Puranas that there is a direct mention of personalities in such a way that you do not appease them for getting something in return, but do it as a selfless service to them. However, again in these Puranas and in the history, sometimes there is a mention of personalities who are not on the highest order, Lord Shiva, who may be also glorified. And again, there is a small chance, however less, but then there is also a small chance that you may not get the highest. So yes, the Vedic scriptures are offering us a lot, but the flip side, the other side of that is that because it is offering us a lot, it confuses us. When you go to a small shop and there are a few varieties of the commodity that you are trying to buy, it's pretty easier to purchase. But when you go to a mall and there are 60 varieties of toothpaste and 30 varieties of a drink, you get more confused. It appears like a benefit of choice, but it ends up confusing if you are not ready for it. If you go with a choice, if you know what is good, what is not good, then it's good for you. So if the Vedic scriptures are Kalpa Vriksha, and we can get so many things from the Kalpa Vriksha, an intelligent man would also ask, I want certain things from the Kalpa Vriksha, but I would also like to know what the Kalpa Vriksha wants to offer to me. I can take use of the bark of a tree, the leaves of a tree, the flowers of a tree, but what is the best part that the tree wants me to offer? And instinctively you will understand that the most relishable part of the tree is the fruit. So what is the naturally ripened galitam phalam of the Vedas? That is the Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the special quality of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that it repeatedly and unequivocally will stress the importance of unmotivated, selfless, uninterrupted devotional service to Lord Shri Krishna. That is our advantage when we read the Srimad Bhagavatam. And as it is giving to us this highest understanding, it also puts the rest of the Vedas, the entire knowledge of the Vedas, in a proper perspective. It's not that from the verse 1 to verse 10, it is only shlokas which tell you, so you should worship Krishna, so you should worship Krishna, no. There are stories about Indra, there are stories about kings on this planet, but it is all in a perspective. You understand the priorities. Where does Krishna fit? Where do the demigods fit? Where the kings, the noble men of this world fit? And so on. While describing Krishna, the same Srimad Bhagavatam also takes us to a higher level of the Supreme Absolute Truth. It gives us three levels, the Brahman, the Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So Brahman is the impersonal effulgence. Paramatma is a personal form of the Lord, however, more in the role of an overseer, more in the role of a sanctioner. But the Bhagavan feature is a step above in that it retains the personality, but it is more personal form of the Lord. It is in its fullness, Sat, Chit, and Ananda also. This Srimad Bhagavatam, the special quality of the Bhagavatam is that the descriptions of this personality are described in great detail here. So very less chance of getting diverted here and there. A personality means qualities. A person has to have qualities. Qualities are inherent to a personality. You and me also have qualities. However, we are triguna baddha. Our qualities are more or less dominated by the most prominent mode in the combination of modes that we are working under. These modes will change from time to time. It means our qualities will change from time to time. Our responses to the same situation will change from time to time. But you and me always feel that I'm free to choose. For a fish or any aquatic who lives in water, the whole world is water. It does not understand that beyond the lot of water that it sees itself in, there is another world on the same planet where air is the main thing. Similarly, you and me are so thickly covered by Maya, it's very difficult for you and me to understand by staying within Maya that we are being controlled by Maya. It's all pervading. For the fish, water is all pervading. It's very difficult for the fish to separate itself from the water. Similarly, it's very difficult for you and me to separate ourselves from Maya. But Krishna is Triguna Tita. He is not controlled by the modes. His qualities are not controlled by the modes. His qualities are transcendental. The special quality that comes out in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the very amazing amalgamation of sweetness and greatness. Now, usually, sweetness will come out of ordinary things, ordinary acts. So sweetness can come out of ordinariness. And ordinariness is directly opposite to greatness. Now, how does somebody appear sweet and great simultaneously? For that, we'll have to read the Srimad Bhagavatam. How, as he is demanding the attention of his mother, he simultaneously kicks the cart with his two tiny soft feet and shows his extraordinary power, at the same time shows his great liking for his mother. He shows his great affection for his devotees. How is he able to do this? Very amazing. That is Krishna, how he can do this. This Krishna in Vrindavan primarily exhibits his sweetness part and less of his opulence. And outside Vrindavan, he shows most of his opulence and sweetness to some lesser extent. It means he is capable of both. It means he is capable of a lot of things. It is up to him which quality he gives importance to and which he does not. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur calls Krishna as the emporium of all the rasas. He is called Ras Raj. Ras Raj, he is the enjoyer of all the rasas. We see many retail shops in the city, and different shops have different commodities, but all the goods that are displayed in the shop come from a godown. Now it is up to the retailer which goods he wants to take from the godown and put on display and then sell. It means if we stay dependent on the retailer, there is a certain choice that has already been taken. How nice it would be if there was a big, huge godown, but not just used to stock goods, but also used to display and sell goods. Similarly, Krishna is the emporium of all the rasas. It means it's a huge, we can compare it to a huge shop where all the goods are on display, all the rasas are on display. Madhurya, Vatsalya, Sakhya, the 7 secondary rasas, Bibhatsaras, Viryaras. Now you choose which one is more comfortable for you. Krishna is willing to extend himself in that particular relationship with him, with the person. When Krishna entered Dwarka, the first canto describes, Krishna bowed his head to some of the devotees who had come. Some he embraced, some he shook his hands, to some he smiled, to some he awarded benedictions, to some he just gave a gesture. The word that is mentioned is yatha vidhi. Yatha vidhi means just as it behooves, just as it would be nice for that particular devotee to get attracted to him. Krishna understands which rasa is that devotee in, so he acts accordingly. Today we are seeing in this particular verse of discussion that he exhibits the quality of intervention. Intervention as in he is seeing certain things happening, but he does not just flow with the sequence of events, but he breaks in. He wants things to happen in a certain way. And that's why I mentioned how three aspects. The highest aspect is Bhagawan, where he is a person, but he is very personal. Very personal as in he has qualities. So qualities means he feels attraction, and attraction means you would want to do something for the person to whom you are attracted to. So that is Krishna. He demands attention by kicking the cart. The noise that was generated by the kick immediately drew Yashoda Mai's attention. Sometime later, when Yashoda Mai is feeding the child in the Damodar Leela, and Yashoda Mai, to serve Krishna, leaves him aside for a moment and takes care of the milk that is just about to boil off the pot, Krishna again becomes angry. He is a person who demands the attention of his devotees. He does not want even one moment of inattention from his dear devotees. What to speak of his dearmost devotee, Mother Yashoda. Immediately he starts breaking butter pots. He makes a big mess. That is his mood, that I want my devotees' attention. Sometimes if a devotee is too caught up in doing something that he should not be caught up in, you and me sometimes, while practicing the path of bhakti, may get distracted, allured into doing something else, which from our point of view is still within the realm of bhakti. We might think, oh, I am still, this is also bhakti, that is also bhakti. But sometimes Krishna, because he is highly personal, may intervene and say, no, within this bhakti and this bhakti, I want you to do this bhakti. When Yashoda Mai kept Krishna aside, what was she trying to do? She was trying to save the milk from getting burnt, and the milk was meant for Krishna. So she is serving Krishna only, but in that particular instance, Krishna says, I do not want you to serve me by protecting the milk. I want you to keep continuing giving me milk from your own body. So that is Krishna, very highly personal. He is very strong. Now, when you love someone, you would want to protect that person. Part of protecting a person also involves sometimes presenting yourself explicitly in front of the person's vision as that person's protector. You clearly show how you have protected that person, your beloved. Sometimes the father, out of his affection for the child, will catch hold of him if he is doing something wrong, speak to him a few words of wisdom, try to correct him personally. But part of protecting somebody is also being in the background and still protecting him in the same way, in the same mood. Prabhupada gives us the same example in this connection, how the mother-in-law wants to instruct the newly wed daughter-in-law. She does not have a relationship with the daughter-in-law, so she instructs the daughter, and in this way instructs the daughter-in-law. So the same instructions, but given in an indirect way. Yes? Sometimes if the father thinks that directly speaking to the child will hurt the child, then he'll instruct the elder brother, the elder sister. And those of you in the audience who are elders in their family know what I mean. Many times for no fault of yours, you get chastised and you wonder, hey, I didn't do anything wrong. But then with maturity comes the understanding that I am just a via medium for instructing the younger child. So Krishna sometimes will protect us directly and sometimes he will protect us indirectly. If we are sincere, Krishna will intervene in our life. Sometimes we will be able to make the connection. Yes, I did this. Krishna says we should not do this, and that's why Krishna caught hold of me. And sometimes he may speak to you and me through somebody whom we directly do not perceive as a messenger of Krishna. Somebody in the street sometimes. So Krishna is always protecting his devotees, sometimes directly and sometimes indirectly. The condition is we should be sincere. In the early days when Prabhupada was taking care of the movement, there were so many things to be done. One thing that was very important was to have paintings of Lord Krishna in the BBT books. And most of the devotees very sincerely were trying to follow Prabhupada's instructions. Still, the entire Vedic culture, the way people would dress, the way people would carry themselves around was not very familiar to them. So many times they would ask, Prabhupada, you want me to paint this painting, but how to paint it? And Prabhupada would say, he would give them directions. But then at a particular time, he would say, you are sincere. Lord Krishna will instruct you from within your heart. So Prabhupada had this wonderful mood of always believing that a sincere devotee is protected by Krishna, sometimes directly and sometimes indirectly. For you and me, if we are not sincere, or if we are less sincere, sometimes we may not like this intervention. We want things to go in a certain way. I have my own pace. Let me go as per my own pace. Yes? We call any advice given to us in this regard, the modern world calls it infringement of privacy. I want some things to happen. I would like it to happen in this way. What gives you a right to tell me what to do and how to do and when to do? Yes? In the interest of the child, if the modern father sometimes chastises him, that is taken as blasphemous, that is taken as sacrilegious. I am a grown-up man now, I am a grown-up person. The country deems me fit to cast my vote also. You do not dare to instruct me, yes? But when Krishna intervenes, sometimes we carry the same conditioning to Krishna's intervention also. When it is direct, we would like to speak, we would like to protest, but then we say, no, this is Krishna's representative, so how can I say like this? And then you keep quiet, but the heart is burning. The heart is saying, why this advice? What to speak if somebody indirectly is advising us, who we do not see as a messenger of Krishna? We would give a fitting reply. We would reveal our mind to him. We are experiencing cold in Bombay right now, and it's receding, but still in the morning definitely it's very cold. When we want to get up, sometimes the sun is up, the light is on, or sometimes in the ashram the lights are switched on because we get up early. And because of the light, we wake up. However, our heart is aching to get some more sleep. We would very well wish to pull the sheet again over our face and again go back to sleep, is it not? We understand getting up early is beneficial for us. Lord will very soon give us our darshan, but our tendency is to take the sheet and again cover ourselves. Similarly, sometimes we are sleeping and Krishna gives us light of knowledge, gives us light of his instructions. But many of us will open, see it is light, realize that it is good for me, but again pull the bedsheet over our face. We are so foolish. A small child looks at the father and says, Father, I'll grow tall like you. He does not see the grandfather and say, Grandfather, one day I'll bend also like you. The same truth of the father's tallness and the grandfather's bending is awaiting for the child, is it not? But ignoring the harsh facts, he would want to take only those facts which are like, which appeal to him, which he wants to do. He wants to be a tall young man, but he ignores the state after that. One time some of our devotees were doing a program in a prison, and we are definitely getting a very good response in the prison. So one of the jail inmate was talking to this devotee and saying, in some days I am going to be released from this prison, my sentence is over. So this devotee congratulated him. He said, very nice, this is a good opportunity for you to reform yourself, put these teachings into action. As the talk went on, this prison inmate revealed his heart. He said, actually speaking, I would say I would not want to go out. So this devotee said, why not? said, well, actually, in the outside world, I had some friends, but now that I'm in the prison, I've lost touch with them. If I go back to my village, more or less, I'm not a good name there. I'm already having a bad name there. Actually, for the last 10 or 20 years, I'm in the prison. I've become a senior person here. When newcomers come, they ask me advice about different things to do in the prison. So I think it is more comfortable than going outside. This is how conditioning catches us. We know this is miserable. We are undergoing misery every day. But the fear of the unknown, what will happen, I do not know. The descriptions are there. The experiences are there. But I do not want to take the risk. I do not want to take that first step forward. I am so happy in my complacency. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya was so convinced that he knows Vedanta. He was convinced that he could even elevate the sannyas of Lord Chaitanya. He said, oh, he is in the Bharati Sampradaya. I can give the Saraswati Sampradaya sannyas. And in that ignorance, he even tried to instruct Lord Chaitanya. Now, Lord Chaitanya is so humble, he puts forward himself as a disciple. He says, Guru to me. He says, yes, I accept you as my guru. Please instruct me. 7 days. 7 days it takes for his illusion to get shattered. After 7 days, when he does not see a reaction from Lord Chaitanya, he says, did you understand anything? You are not even asking a question. There's no response from you. Did you actually understand anything? Then Lord Chaitanya, seeing the opportune moment, intervenes. Says, yes. Actually, the purports of the Vedanta are like the clear sun. And your explanations, your descriptions are clouding the sun. You are a cloud. How it must have crushed Sarvabhaum. When an ordinary person in this world speaks cutting to us, it sounds very harsh, but when Krishna or Lord Chaitanya in this case spoke like this to him, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya was immediately transported to reality, transported on a consciousness level. Physically, he's in the same position, but immediately his consciousness becomes shaken. When somebody is moving around in sleep, you cannot talk to him, you cannot instruct him, you'll have to catch him and shake him. And then he understands, excuse me, where am I? Am I in sleep? Similarly, Lord Chaitanya, just by this one statement of his, your purports, your explanations are like the cloud which is clouding the sun, brought Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya to reality. However, since he is the Lord, since he is an emporium of all rasas, it's not that he just wants to shake him, he also wants to elevate him. Lord Chaitanya did not just chastise him and get him out of his sleep. When he came out of his sleep, he also gave him the real understanding. Then Lord Chaitanya instructed to him how the Supreme Absolute Truth is a person, and that Supreme Person is Lord Shri Krishna. Then he explains Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojan. These are only the three topics of the Vedas. Anybody who says there is anything else in the Vedas outside Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojan is a fool. Then everything fit into perspective. Yes, I know this, but this is actually Sambandha. This is to tell me the greatness of the Lord. Yes, here so much glorification I have read, but that was Abhideya. Glorify the Supreme Lord to come close to him, to win his favor. And Prayojan is also there in the Vedas. What do the devotees do in Vaikuntha Loka? Then the whole perspective became clear. So that is the special teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are also some devotees who like Krishna's intervention. Not all are on the level of disliking Krishna's intervention. Gajendra, in his prayers to the Lord, in one shloka, he prays, Ichhami kalena na viplavas, tasyatma loka varanasya moksham. He says, my dear Lord, I have read and I have heard that everything in this world is destroyed. Time reigns supreme. Kalosmi lokakshayam krita parvruddho. Time destroys everything. There is nothing permanent in this world. He puts forward. the species of an elephant, the dull species of an elephant, puts forward a very amazing philosophical point. He's a devotee. He's very intelligent. He says there is one thing that time does not destroy. Kalena na yasya viplavas. What is that? Ignorance. He says time destroys everything in this world, but time does not destroy our ignorance. If I'm ignorant and I just stay where I am, I do not take a step forward, I'll stay ignorant till the rest of eternity. Ignorance does not go on its own. We have to make efforts to drive away the ignorance. So he says, I want that from you. Please destroy my ignorance. He is wanting, he is praying for Krishna's intervention in his life. When Parikshit Maharaj was cursed, he says, actually it is the same Supreme Lord. Nirveda Moolo Dvija Shaparoop. The same Supreme Lord who was my worshipable Lord, actually he has come to disentangle me from my over attachment to my family and kingdom and so on. He has come in the form of the Dvija Shapa. He has come in the form of the curse of the Brahman. Let me welcome him. He prays, let the reactions come fast. Na ati dirghat. He prays in one shloka. Let it come fast. Let my body be destroyed. Let my kingdom undergo all the difficulties that it is supposed to undergo as a reaction to my infringement on the... I disrespected a Brahman. Let it come. He is praying for the intervention. For you and me, the whole bhakti process should take us from the first stage to the second stage. If we are on the platform that we do not want Krishna's intervention, and still Krishna, out of his compassion, out of his protection, will intervene, we should raise ourselves to the standard where we seek his intervention. We pray to Krishna, Krishna, please tell me what is right for me. And when you tell me what is right for me, please also give me intelligence to appreciate it. Many times in the past, you have told me what is right for me, but I did not appreciate it. And because I did not appreciate it, it just went by. Yes, but now you help me. Parikshit was cursed to die in 7 days. Kamsa was also cursed to die. Is it not? Now, the reactions were totally opposite. Parikshit, in fact, had very less time. 7 days he had, but he was seeking the intervention of the Lord. Those 7 days he utilized completely for Shravanam, perfected his life by Shravanam, and went back home, back to Godhead. Kamsa, on the other hand, was also told that you are going to die. There's a fixed time. This child of Devaki is going to kill you. What was his response? He fought back. He said, no, I do not like your intervention. In fact, I'll stop you from intervening in anybody's life for the future. I'll kill you. That is his response. But what happened? No. Krishna's will reigns supreme. Let thy will be done. His will cannot be negated. When you align your will with Krishna's will, it brings supreme auspiciousness to you. When you do not align your will with Krishna's will, it may not bring auspiciousness to you. So both people were cursed, but then there was a different response. When will Krishna intervene in your and my life? When we become inclined towards him, when we understand how what his plan is for me is right, or when he sees us frustrated with material affairs. The Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, this is a different terminology, we have understanding of some terminology, but Chaitanya Charitamrita explains how there are two causes in this world. One is called the Upadan Karan. Upadan Karan means the ingredient cause. The world that we see comes from some raw matter, that is the Upadan Karan, material nature. But beyond this Upadan Karan is also the Nimitta Karan. The Nimitta Karan is the supreme cause, which is the Supreme Lord. Now, yes, the Upadan Karan is also the Karan. We see so many things happening in the material nature, yes? And that is the reason why we get so much absorbed in material affairs. The material nature presents itself as the Upadan Karan to us. It presents itself as varieties of cause and effect. We see this was happening, then something happened, and then the effect was this. The cause is this, a certain process acted, and the effect is this. So we think, if I manipulate the cause, I can get the suitable result. It makes sense. In the past, I have seen this happened, then this happened, and this was the effect. So we, in our hope to get suitable effects, to enjoy life in a certain way, we think the best way is to manipulate the initial stage. One small example. I want a job. I'm searching for a job. So I go to one interview. I give a job. I give that interview. I appear for that interview. But I am not well prepared. I'm not able to answer all the questions. I do not get a favorable response. So ill-prepared for the interview gives me the result that I fail in the interview. Yes? So what is the solution to this? The solution to this logically is you prepare well. So I prepare well for the interview. But I miss my bus. Yes? So what is the solution to this? I prepare well, but I reach early. But when I reach early, you know, the boss is absent on that day. Now, do you feel something similar to what we have been experiencing in our lives? We saw certain things happening and then we traced it back. We said, oh, this was the cause. Now I understand. I am so intelligent. And you try to manipulate the cause, trying to arrive at that result. No, material nature will not allow you. No matter how much we try, if certain thing is not due to us, so many things will go wrong. And you wonder, I took care of this, I took care of this, I took care of this, still I did not get it. Anything that we do in the material nature, we are never sure of the result. We do not understand that this material world is only the upadan karan. It is only the ingredient cause. There is a nimitta, there is a super controller. If you want to surmount the insurmountable energy of the Lord, there is only one way, that you surrender yourself to the controller of the energy, the energetic. There is no point in trying to manipulate the upadan karan. It's just the ingredients. The ingredients are being controlled by the nimitta. But this simple understanding is very difficult for us to understand. Material nature is what? 8 elements. Bhumi rapa anulavayu kham mano buddhi revacha. A kaleidoscope has just a few pieces of glass in it, colored pieces of glass. You shake it, there's a different pattern. You shake it another way, there's another different pattern. There are unlimited varieties of patterns that you can see in a kaleidoscope with a few pieces of glass. Similarly, material nature is manipulating so many things with just these 8 elements. The real solution is, we understand, I have banged my head against the wall so many times. I have manipulated the cause so many times. Never did I get my desired effect. Why do not I understand this? That actually all this is happening under the supervision of the Supreme Lord. Daivihi esha gunamai mama maya duratya mam eva ye prapadyante maya metan tarantite. So unless we get frustrated and we get tired, it's difficult for us to understand. When this solution of don't manipulate material nature, don't busy yourself in it, just surrender to the Lord. This concept is presented to us. It hurts the conditioned soul so much. The very mention of the word surrender is very scary. How can I surrender? I have such a big false ego. It's very scary. How can I accept someone as my shelter? My intelligence is so big. I have it all planned out. I'll do this, I'll give this exam, I'll come here, I'll go for this interview. This is what is waiting for me in my later part of life. My whole life is worked out in my own intelligence. However, it does not work out that way. We have to accept the supreme shelter that is provided by the cause of all causes. Sarva karana karanam. Krishna presents himself in the Gita as Suhrudam Sarva Bhutanam. He presents that unless you understand this, there is not going to be any peace. We many times speak that 5.29 is the peace formula. But when we want peace, we do not apply it. We are looking here and there for peace. Just by understanding, he is the supreme well-wisher. Sometimes his well-wishes may be in a pleasant way, and sometimes his well-wishes may not be in a pleasant way. We only want happiness in our lives. If distress comes, it disturbs us. Yes, too much chili is very bad. Too much distress is very bad. Also, too much sugar is bad. is it not? Too much chili causes one disease, and too much sugar also causes one disease. So if somebody is just, oh, I only want happiness, I only want happiness, I only want happiness, great chances you won't achieve the supreme goal of life. You will be in a diseased consciousness. Then what is best for me? Is too much chili good for me? Too much sugar is definitely bad for me. Too much chili? No, too much chili is bad. Too much sugar? No, bad. Then what is good for me? Let the nutritionist decide. Let the doctor decide how much chili you should use and how much sugar you should use. Let Krishna give you the prescription. My dear devotee, seeing your particular case, I would rather say you need some distress in your life. You are becoming too complacent with your life. You have received so many benefits, you have taken them cheaply, you are not grateful. Then comes distress, but this distress is from Suhrudam Sarvabhutanam. He is the best benefactor and the well-wisher. If he is giving us a chili, you should understand, I have a weak digestion. I have something that will get cured by this chili. And if you get a sweet, you should understand, I think I need some sweets also. That is Krishna. We all would want unconditional love. When I love somebody, there should not be any conditions. However, in a conditioned world, impossible. Where everyone is a conditioned soul, how can we get unconditional love? We will get unconditional love only from that person who is beyond the conditioning, the modes, that is the Supreme Lord, his representatives. When we love Krishna, when we love his representatives, they can give us unconditional love. When you demand unconditional love, another section, another part, an aspect of unconditional love is also, you do not impose conditions on that person. You would want unconditional love from the other person. Whoever I am, whatever I am, this person should love me. I should always be in the good books of this person. What about that person being in the good books, in your good books in all cases? Sometimes if your beloved does not act in a particular way and if you get distressed, it means you are expecting unconditional love from that person. What about that person's expectations of unconditional love from you? Is it not? So we should understand that a Vaishnava's seva, a devotee's worship of Krishna is not an opportunistic method. It's not something temporary. You do not climb a ladder to go to reach somewhere and then let go of the ladder. No, that is not a Vaishnava conception. Vaishnava conception is, this is my original condition. This is my original state, to have loving reciprocal relationships with the Lord. Unconditional love I am seeking. Similarly, Krishna is also seeking unconditional love. Whatever he gives to me, I take it very happily. In one class, many years back, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was speaking on this aspect. He was saying, a devotee is like a potato. He was giving this example. He was saying, a potato sometimes may be cut, fried, boiled, but the potato does not complain because the potato understands, the knife is not cutting me, the cook is cutting me. The devotee undergoes many trials and tribulations in his life, but he does not blame the situation. He does not blame the particular person through whom the distress is coming. He understands, the cook is preparing me to offer me to Shri Radha Gopinath. The perfection of my life is not to be a good-looking potato. The perfection of my life is to be a fit offering to Shri Radha Gopinath. In this way, even if there is some intervention, we should understand, it's good for me. When we understand that this surrender is essential, then we take the last step. That last step is, Maro bhi rakho bhi jo ichha tohar. Sometimes even if there is a delay, still if we are in the proper mood, it will help us. We are just coming near the biggest festival, Sri Gaur Purnima. Just taking the theme that we are discussing today, what is Gaur Purnima? Gaur Purnima is the appearance of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again exhibiting the same mood of intervention. He knows the people of this Kali Yuga are lazy, misguided, less intelligent, unfortunate? How do you help a patient who does not even come to the clinic? And the world is full of such patients. It's not just one or two patients whom you can visit. The whole world is full of such patients. So then what does the doctor do? The doctor leaves his clinic and goes out to help the patients. Similarly, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the emporium of all rasas, he exhibits the Karuna ras. Anarpita charim chirat, karunaya avatirna kalau. He has manifested in this Kali Yuga to distribute the highest rasa to one and all. He has everything in him. The emporium has all the goods. The owner of the emporium has the supreme choice, has the supreme will to take the best product in the whole big godown of goods and distribute it freely. He's the owner. There's no imposition on him that he should not distribute freely the most costliest product. He can do that. You and me cannot do that. But if the Lord wills, he can do that. When Sugriva accepted to be Lord Ramchandra's companion, when his job was done, when Vali was killed and Sugriva was given the charge of the kingdom, the Chaturmas set in. As the Chaturmas set in, Lord Ramchandra said, I'm not going to go ahead, I'm going to stay here for some time. And Sugriva restarted on his past life before he went into that distressed condition. Now that Lord Ramchandra had destroyed his distress, he again started off on a life of sense gratification. At one point of time after the Chaturmas, he had to be reminded. Lakshman was sent by Lord Ramchandra to remind him he has some duties also. The pact was he kills Vali and then Sugriva helps Lord Ramchandra find Sita Devi. But a conditioned soul is conditioned. The conditioned soul, as soon as he gets a happy position, he forgets the Lord. So Lord Ramchandra had to send Lakshman, his representative, his devotee, Lord Chaitanya. He takes that job upon himself. He himself advents himself as the devotee. The owner becomes, if I can compare, a salesman. The owner takes upon himself, I have this big shop, but this big shop, nobody is coming in. Maybe it looks very opulent, so the ordinary person on the street is not coming in. Let me go out. Let me give this highest, most costliest commodity in the hands of people and also tell them how to value it. That is Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I thought this is something for us to discuss in the connection of this verse. We'll just quickly see what we discussed. We saw how the Vedas are Kalpavriksha. They can fulfill all desires. They have so much knowledge, but they give us the three aspects of the Supreme Absolute Truth: Bhagwan, Paramatma, and Brahman. The Bhagwan feature is the most personal feature. Personal feature means it has a quality. The special quality of Krishna Leela is sweetness and greatness is wonderfully combined in such a way that always Krishna attracts his devotees. He is called Rasaraj. It means he has all the qualities in emporium. He interacts with his devotees in a fit way so as to awaken and kindle their love for him. In this particular verse that we are discussing today, his quality of intervention, that he wants to intervene in his devotee's life, that comes out very nicely. Why does he intervene? He intervenes out of his love. Love is sometimes exhibited directly and sometimes love is also exhibited indirectly. The only consideration is it should not disturb the relationship. If coming directly into the picture disturbs the relationship, you would want to love the person indirectly. And if not, you would present yourself directly. So Krishna does direct and indirect. Some of us become so conditioned in this world that we do not prefer direct, neither indirect. We are like that prison inmate who wants to stay within the prison. And some very elevated devotees pray for intervention, like Parikshit Maharaj and Gajendra. For you and me, we should raise ourselves from the platform of not wanting intervention to wanting intervention. We will understand that when we understand that Krishna is Suhrudam Sarva Bhutanam. Too much chili is also good, is also bad, and too much sugar is also bad. So too much distress and too much happiness, both are bad. Let Krishna decide what is good for me. We saw the example of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, where he explained that the whole purpose of life is reformation. The whole purpose of life is to become a fit offering at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. And then at the end, we saw how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the embodiment of this principle of intervention. He leaves behind all his opulences as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vrajendra Nandan, and comes here and shares his wonderful teachings, the highest teachings of Ujjwala Rasa, amongst you and me. So I'll stop here. If somebody has any questions, then we can take a few questions. If somebody has any comments, then we can take a few comments. We have one hand raised. The class is over. If somebody has some services, they can leave.
Hello. Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. आप जो आपने रसों की बात की था, आप तो रसराज कृष्ण की बात की थी, तब भागवत से हमें कितने प्रकार के रस मिलती है? वहाँ से भागवत, गैर से ज्ञान, वैर से विराग्य, अत्याय से त्याग, और जब त्याग हो जाता है,
थैंक यू. हरे कृष्ण. जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की. श्रीमद भागवत महापुराण की जय. अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय.